You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and you think that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. This week, we discuss the Elimination Chamber, The Rock, Jeff Hardy, Aces and Eights, National Pro Wrestling Day, and much more. My name is David, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend Alex. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing very, very well, David.
We have a lot of great wrestling topics to discuss, so what do you say? Should we get started?
Let's ring the bell.
This weekend, The Rock defends the WWE Championship against CM Punk at the Elimination Chamber. There should be a lot of excitement with The Rock back on top, but I'm not sure his return is generating the buzz the WWE thought. Do you think having The Rock back in WWE has been this great boost to the product?
No, I mean, he's been back the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. This will be his third year back around WrestleMania season. And it's kind of, you know, he's not a member of the active roster. He can't really grow and mature like the rest of the cast can. So he's kind of feels out of place on the show. There was a lot of, you know, internet hardcore fan backlash, which, you know, was a small minority of the audience. But nonetheless, you know, there was a slight backlash to him coming in and beating Punk for the title. I'm not as excited about it.
First of all, you're right. It's been now a couple years, so it doesn't seem quite as fresh. I was surprised to hear that not only is some of the backlash coming from the WWE Universe, as they call it, but some of the people in the locker room apparently aren't thrilled about this either, that he's taking some of their main event spots at big pay-per-views. Is there legitimacy to that claim? Or, you know, should people like Dolph Ziggler, for example, not be that upset about it because he can't headline WrestleMania yet?
Well, you know, I'm not there every day. I mean, I can only imagine it'd be somewhat frustrating, but also I always tell myself that this year's WrestleMania, from all projections, looks to be the biggest WrestleMania and maybe the biggest show ever held in North America, financially wise. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully the guys collect out on a big payday, a payday that maybe they wouldn't be able to get if the main event was Dolph Ziggler against Daniel Bryan, as much as I love both competitors.
Right.
So in one universe, they have to be happy that The Rock is there and able to generate them all that money. But also, if you're Dolph Ziggler, you're thinking, you know, if the company invested in me, I'd be at that level. So,
yeah.
You know, we talked about it before on the different radio shows, David. If they put the investment time in these guys during the summer and fall months, maybe they would mean a lot more coming around to WrestleMania. I mean, who do you even want to see Dolph fight at WrestleMania? This guy's the number one contender, and I can't think of an interesting matchup.
Well, that's a great point. I wonder if the memory of The Rock with his great run, it's just better than the reality of it now. We have a lot of fond memories of great matches in the past and great interviews. I didn't think his promo work was that particularly strong this past week. Now, let me ask you, I want to talk about the Royal Rumble. It was a little overbooked for me, and I don't know. I thought that the match itself had some great intensity, but I thought they tried to do too much with it. Is that a fair criticism?
Yes and no. I mean, it would be interesting to see what they do within the next couple of months. Shield's involvement at the Shield can do something interesting at WrestleMania. I definitely think they'll play into the finish this weekend in the Elimination Chamber match. So we'll see what exactly happens. But yeah, I mean, The Rock is not an active competitor. He has a lot on his mind. He's in wrestling. He's there every week. But how much of a focus can he really put on it when it's really a thing he does for fun, you know?
The Elimination Chamber traditionally sets up the major angles that will be carried into WrestleMania. Alex, do you like the current direction of WWE leading into the biggest show of the year?
Actually, I do. I mean, some of the matches we kind of know. We're looking at John Cena versus Rock in a rematch for the title. Alberto Del Rio is going to defend his title against whoever wins the Elimination Chamber. A lot of fresh faces in this Elimination Chamber. Seemingly, we're going to get some kind of Daniel Bryan Kane confrontation. They've been building that up over the next few weeks. You don't necessarily know going into the pay-per-view, and there are some things to look forward to that you probably will see going into the pay-per-view, which is a good combination. So I think Elimination Chamber will be a good pay-per-view.
I think it'll be good. I think WrestleMania will be good, and part of it is, we know in WrestleMania we're going to have, like you said, Rock, Cena. We're going to have Brock Lesnar, Triple H, and hopefully The Undertaker can work. But I do think what they've done with Alberto Del Rio the past couple months has been effective. You mentioned Dolph Ziggler. I like his union with AJ. I think they're kind of fun. And I love the Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar, CM Punk trioka there, you know, with Paul Heyman pulling the strings. I like that. I like some of the depth of the roster now, Alex. I like Chris Jericho being back. I like Jack Swagger kind of coming back with a new gimmick. So I think they have the talent in place to put together top to bottom a great WrestleMania. Now, they didn't put Cena now in a chamber match. I thought that was interesting.
Well, you know, I mean, that was always kind of the complaint about the old February pay-per-view, the No Way Out pay-per-view, mm-hmm. is that it was kind of a deadpan show, kind of a throwaway. You kind of already knew what was going to happen, so the results of that show really didn't matter. And using this Elimination Chamber to, quote-unquote, as you put it, fix the main event. I mean, we've seen it, David, where guys have won the Royal Rumble and then either lost their title shots or whatever at Elimination Chamber. So it adds a new level of intrigue, but surprisingly, it's not hurt Royal Rumble at all. Royal Rumble is still the second biggest show of the year, and Elimination Chamber has gained traction. So, I mean, I consider that a positive throughout the years. Now, Jack Swagger on Monday, he was involved in a very controversial interview segment with his new manager, Zeb Coulter. What are your thoughts on Jack Swagger's new persona?
You know, I like him better, Alex, just as a worker. I think he's a big, strong guy. I like his edge a little bit to him here where he's nasty. And I would rather the microphone be taken out of his hands. So if his cohort here can help him out and help him get over with the crowd, that's a good thing. I like the rougher edge Jack Swagger. Agree?
Well, you know, I mean, my only thing is that it kind of has a shelf life. I mean, you can only be non-appreciative, I guess, of Mexicans for so many angles. I mean, you got Rey Sin Cara and Alberto. Again, booking on the fly or armchair booking or Monday morning quarterbacking, whatever you want to call it. But you would have had a lot more traction if you would debut this new character in the summer and let Swagger and Alberto kind of be the feud of the summer, a la JBL and Eddie Guerrero a few years ago when they did the same exact thing. They brought back JBL repackaged as a Mexican hater. It'll be interesting, but seemingly that's the way they're going because, like I said, there's only so many Mexicans Jack Swagger can feud with.
Mark Henry made his return to the WWE a few weeks ago on Monday Night Raw, and he immediately started destroying people. Do you think Mark can once again be a major player for the WWE? Alex, I always liked Mark Henry. I like the fact that he feels real to me. You know, he feels like a really bad dude, and I like that realism. I do respond to that. I'd like to see him put into a good feud, maybe something heading into WrestleMania here. I was just happy to see him back, and I think he has a place. Do you?
You know what? I would have agreed with you if you brought up this point last summer. I mean, I would have absolutely agreed with you. But with Brock Lesnar being on the same roster, and Henry can't quite capture that. But I'm a fan of Mark Henry. I think he brings something different and interesting. But yeah, it's hard to be the baddest dude on the roster when Brock Lesnar's there.
That's a good point. But do you agree, though, with me that Mark Henry seems like legitimately a really bad, tough, mean guy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a guy I wouldn't want to cross either. And I doubt they would ever do a match between the two guys, but maybe that's something you could do to get some interest maybe one day. But absolutely, I mean, you wouldn't want to cross paths with Mark Henry. But there's something about Brock Lesnar, man. He really has it together, his facials, and he's a bad dude. But absolutely, Mark Henry's excellent as well.
Do you think that there's any chance they would have Mark Henry versus Ryback? Because there was talk, right, that Ryback at WrestleMania, there may be a big show feud there, but Mark Henry Ryback would be at least interesting, wouldn't it?
You'd have to keep that match super, super, super short, but absolutely that's a match you could do. But both guys are obviously kind of limited in the ring, mobility-wise for Mark Henry and Ryback wrestling-wise. I mean, there's just not too much that he can do safely, so they'd have to have like a 3-minute match. Absolutely. I think you could easily build intrigue in that match, David.
I like the Hall of Pain. I think that's kind of cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I like a lot about Mark Henry. He has an interesting presentation. TNA Wrestling. Lockdown is cutting down the cage matches this year. The annual show will only feature 2 cages this year. David?
I'm okay with it, Alex. I'm not a huge fan of shows that have the same kind of match over and over again. You know, WWE has a lot of these theme pay-per-views too, and I don't mind having 1 or 2 of those kind of matches. I think it makes it feel more special. I have no problem with it.
You know, David, I actually disagree with you. This is TNA's second biggest pay-per-view every year.
Uh-huh.
It's something completely unique that no one is doing in wrestling, which is the all cage match show. Maybe there's some indie somewhere doing it, but I mean, as a major level company, no one's ever tried to do this or attempted this other than TNA. You know, it's interesting because, you know, you can have their critique of, you know, there's too many cage matches, kind of devalue cage matches. World Wrestling Entertainment's had that criticism forever. You know, they did a cage match a few weeks ago between Dolph Ziggler and John Cena, and it definitely didn't have the kind of aura that some of the cage matches had in the 80s. I don't know. You know, it kind of it makes it like a normal pay-per-view to me now,
huh.
And I think a lot of the intrigue is gone for me, personally.
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, look at it. If we're going to disagree, at least we have good points, right? Yeah, no, and here's the thing. With cage matches and any of these kind of, you know, Hell in a Cell or whatever, it works if the feud feels like it's been built up to the point where this is the next logical step in their storytelling. Do you think going into lockdown, the TNA has done a good enough job with their stories, with their characters, that if they had all cage matches at lockdown, it would have been okay?
Well, sure. I mean, that's been a valid complaint since the first lockdown, to where you did have matches going into a cage that weren't ready for a cage match.
Right.
And, you know, that's also the knock every year with Hell in a Cell, is that guys will start feuding the month before in their first match. Let's do a Hell in a Cell. And then they'll have to go backwards. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, what's interesting is that for me, I don't know, it worked. I don't feel like it really devalued the cage match. I don't feel like it devalued future matches. I don't know. It's interesting that in this universe, in this one show, I can't really think of a time I've ever had that complaint about it as compared to Hell in a Cell, where they only do two Hell in a Cells. I've actually had that complaint seemingly every year.
Mm-hmm. Real quick before we move on, I kind of miss the cage matches, though, where you had to go over the top or out the door. I'm not crazy about steel cage matches with the referee. I guess that's maybe because I just remember the matches when I was little, but I liked that concept of the cage match. You had to get out of the cage.
You know, I completely disagree with you. I mean, and mind you, again, I was brought up on the Crockett cage matches where you did have to pin your opponent. But, I mean, my wife and I were watching the Dolph Ziggler-John Cena match, and she's saying, how could John Cena really be the winner if he just runs away from Dolph Ziggler? And I've always agreed with that. I mean, in a cage match, you want to see the guy get beat. Mm. Imagine if a UFC match was ended by the guy climbing over the cage.
The Hulk Hogan-Paul Orndorff cage match from Saturday Night's Main Event in 1987, where they hit at the exact same time. Have you seen that cage match?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure it's highly edited because it wasn't live.
Sure, yeah, it was.
But that's exciting. That was fantastic. Anyway, okay, so we disagree.
Jeff Hardy is staying as he signed a new contract with TNA Wrestling. David, what are your thoughts on Jeff Hardy dedicating, I guess, the next 3 years, at least until 2015, I believe, to TNA Wrestling instead of going back to WWE?
I liked it for a lot of reasons. I really did. First of all, I think he's doing well in TNA, and I really like roster stability. I really like the fact that he's going over there, and, you know, he's won the championship, and for me, if he comes back to WWE, it doesn't excite me at all, and he just isn't needed there. So I like the stability for TNA. I like the stability for Jeff Hardy. How about you?
Absolutely. I mean, TNA, obviously, TNA made very big changes. They're taping less in Impact Zone, taping less pay-per-views live. It started making a lot of changes, but it would definitely be kind of concerning, in my opinion, if a bunch of wrestlers Jeff Hardy's level started retreating seemingly to nowhere, because if they didn't go to World Wrestling Entertainment, they seemingly just left. That would be a reason for concern. But even through all these changes, David, they're still able to sign seemingly their biggest star in Jeff Hardy. So that's a good sign for the company.
Yeah, it is. I wonder, you know, if the WWE released that 50 Greatest Superstars DVD now, if Jeff Hardy would still be on it. Because <You know>? That thing is so political.
He kind of left on good terms.
Yep.
He did the full length of his contract and even extended it for a period of time. So, you know, it's kind of hard, I guess, for him to be mad at him.
I think that in TNA, I think he's still got enough main events in him that this was a good deal for TNA, but I also think it's important for Jeff Hardy now to build the next generation of TNA stars and to, you know, to put some other guys over. Do you agree with that? I think he's got enough name recognition. He's been on top for a while. It's time, in some respects, to help build that next generation.
Absolutely it is. And, I mean, it's something I guess he's tried to do. But, sure, I mean, Hardy's been a good member of the roster. you know, he is the champion now, so he kind of has that pulpit, I guess, to where he can hopefully create a couple new stars along the way. Eight Citizen Eights, David, they're still here. They're in a couple of big matches at Lockdown. We recently saw the introduction to the stable of Garrett Bischoff, also Wes Briscoe, and also Ken Kennedy seemingly is teaming with them, Ken Anderson. David, what are your thoughts on the continual Aces and Eights storyline?
Well, I guess invasion angles are a good business, right? I'm fine with it. I like stability in the roster. I also like stability in storylines. So I'm fine with keeping it going. I like that stability. I actually think that's an important component to helping TNA turn around, is keeping a programming in place that doesn't seem all over the board, which is, in my opinion, what brought WCW down. One week to the next didn't make any sense. So I have no problem with it. Invasion angles. Yeah. And one last point, Alex, is also how important, you go back in history, the NWO really is. If you think about the success of the NWO and how it's, you know, shot off into these other promotions and these other storylines, even the Shield to some degree, right? So we're still feeling the effects of the NWO here.
Yeah, on one case, yeah, I mean, you do want stability and stuff like that. You don't want to hotshot things. This is going to have, obviously, much bigger ramifications, I think, all the way to the summer. But, oh, man, it just hasn't seemed to pick up any steam.
Huh.
The guys they're elevating in Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe, I've shared my opinions about them on the show, especially Wes Briscoe going in there against the Kurt Angle, who, I mean, there's a lot of demands on Kurt Angle for a quality match, and Kurt recently did an interview with Wrestling Observer. I don't know if you had the opportunity to hear it.
No.
But Kurt said that, you know, he doesn't see very much time left on his career, maybe 2 years, he said, and then it was very important for him this year to do what you'd asked Jeff Hardy to do, which is build new stars. So Kurt has taken less of an active role in television and is seemingly going to get ready the next generation. But I don't know if Wes Briscoe's the guy. I would appreciate this feud more, I think, if it was more to appreciate, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you've mentioned that you don't really care for Briscoe and Bischoff, but, you know, I always liked Mike Knox, and I always liked Luke Gallows, and so I was just kind of glad to see them doing something in another promotion. I kind of was glad about that at least they went to TNA and were put into a good storyline, and so in that regard, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, Luke Gallows and Mike Knox are definitely talents that haven't had their full services, I guess, used. But, I mean, as an invasion angle, are these the two guys that you would want to lead an invasion? I don't know. And Devon and Garrett. And you know Eric Bischoff's going to come soon, and Hulk Hogan's therefore going to have to get involved. And so the thing I've dreaded most about this storyline is that I know where it's going to go, and that's sometimes good for a storyline. But in this instance, I don't want it to go there. I don't want to see the return of Eric Bischoff, David.
Wildcard topic number one. We found out this week that wrestling is being dropped as an Olympic sport in 2020. Alex, is this a real black mark on the Olympics?
Well, it seemingly it happened because the IOC determined of the sports that they had put on the docket, because seemingly you want to add new sports to the Olympics every 4 years, every 8 years. So they want to add new sports. From what I understand, I guess baseball is being looked at again. So I didn't know the World Baseball Classic was that successful, so I don't know exactly what the pitch. Then I don't know what the pitch is to get baseball back, but because if you remember, baseball was an Olympic sport a few years ago. But they're dropping one of the most tenured sports. I don't want to say the longest-running sport, but I know it's one of the most tenured sports, and a sport that was probably competing in the original Olympics, which is wrestling, in favor of a few other sports. There's a number of things they looked at, which is like worldwide popularity and such. Man, this hurts wrestling at all levels.
I was going to follow on and ask you, how far down is this going to reach? You know, because it doesn't just affect the Olympic athletes. It affects college kids and high school kids. I live in Northern Virginia, and there's a great wrestling school, wrestling program here in Northern Virginia for kids my son's age. He's 8, you know, and just for athletics, how far down does this go?
Absolutely, David. I mean, you know, there was actually interest, I think, some interest going into this year's Olympic Games. I mean, there's all the talk if Kurt Angle's going to do it. the guy off the Biggest Loser, Roland Garner. You know, there was some interest if he was going to be able to drop all the weight and compete as a super heavyweight. I mean, there was interest seemingly going into this year's Olympics in wrestling. But, you know, what are these college kids going to do when they're done wrestling now? I mean, athletics as it is, David, going to college full time, it's a huge drain on you. And are you really going to go compete as a wrestler if maybe you could do football or something else? Oh man, it hurts at all levels, David. It really does. It hurt MMA and pro wrestling because that was a big source of talent. Jack Swagger, as we were talking about earlier, Kurt Angle.
Yeah, well, the Iron Sheik. He was an Olympic wrestler in real life, but. Yeah, it's really sad. And I went to a school where swimming was really big. And, you know, if you took away swimming from the Olympics, I mean, you know, those kids have to be able to chase a dream, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. It really is. It's kind of, you know, very much an American culture, I think. We've always known of the amateur wrestler. And hopefully it doesn't kill the sport, but seemingly it's going to greatly affect it. Wild card topic number two. National Pro Wrestling Day was an event held February 2nd, 2013. What are your thoughts on this concept, David? And for those who are unaware, National Pro Wrestling Day was basically an event where a lot of promotions nationally were able to present one match at this National Pro Wrestling Day. And for fans who want to get into independent wrestling or whatever, they could seemingly get a sample of one match from each company, a different talent base from what all the other companies, you know, because it wasn't all talent that you'd be familiar with if you only watched one company. So it was an interesting concept, David. Had you heard of this, and what are your thoughts of it?
Yes, I had heard of it, and boy, talk about pressure. You know, each promotion picks one match, right? I mean, you know, you go out there and lay an egg, and that's a real black mark on that promotion. I heard the day went very well. Did you?
I've heard about some matches coming out of it. I haven't heard too much about other matches. The iPay-per-view was streamed on SmartMark Video, so fans were able to watch it live, and also they can order it on demand. You know, it's an interesting concept, and yeah, I mean, you'd have to be super selective about what match you sent. And hopefully, you know, you were able to have a varied enough match, and hopefully you had a varied enough you know, Mike Quackenbush and Colt Cabana were one of the matches on there, mm-hmm. and those are two independent wrestling veterans. So, you know, I could see how it has its pros and cons, but definitely groups working together isn't a bad thing. You know, the independent wrestling, like we discussed a few months ago about the NWA, and I don't know if it was with you or with Mike Valentine, but if the NWA title meant anything, and, you know, I referenced that conversation we had with Adam Pearce here on OWW Radio about how often he defended his title, and I kind of saw the NWA concept could be moved to something like Evolve or Ring of Honor, where the champion could go to the different promotions and kind of defend their title. But that's only going to be helpful if the companies have like a working agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And that could get more eyes on companies, you know, if a Kevin Steen, Ring of Honor champion, or Johnny Gargano, Evolve champion, or Dragon Gate USA champion, goes to your Virginia Indy fight pro wrestling and defends the title. You know, you might get some new eyes on there.
Yep.
So, ultimately, the independent companies, I guess, kind of working together can get more eyes on independent wrestling.
No, well, and here we have WrestleCon coming up in April, and it seems like this is really the way to go. You, like you said, you get as many eyeballs on the product as you can. I think that's a great thing. Anything that raises the awareness of professional wrestling is a good thing. So I thought National Pro Wrestling Day was a fun event. It was fun. And here's the other thing. Isn't it ironic? We have a National Pro Wrestling Day basically within a couple weeks of when they cancel Olympic wrestling. Just seems odd to me. You know, the timing there is a little strange.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe they'll start teaching pro wrestling in schools now.
God, that would have been good. I tried when I was in eighth grade.
We all dabble in it, but none of us know what we're doing. But maybe instead of the Iron Sheik coaching an Olympic wrestling team, maybe he can be the head coach of your pro wrestling team in Fairfax, Virginia.
I make you humble, Alex. Blast from the past. Martino, how important is the validity of the WWE Hall of Fame? And what are some of your memories, Alex, of the living legend?
Well, by the time I saw Bruno Sammartino, I mean, he was an announcer. His son, I mean, I started watching wrestling even after his son David wasn't with the company anymore. But, I mean, I've not really, later in my adult life, I've been able to go back and see tapes of Bruno Russell. And, man, it was not the type of wrestling I was into, but the guy was champion forever. Sold out Madison Square Garden 40 million times, and that's not an accurate number. But, I mean, Bruno was definitely one of the most important figures in professional wrestling history. I can go back and watch a 70s-era Harley Race match easier than I could a 70s-era Bruno match. But the validity of the Hall of Fame is forever shot for me based off some of the guys they've inducted in the past. When Vince McMahon wouldn't even acknowledge that there was another wrestling company and that guys that he used to employ used to wrestle over there. I mean, it was treated like, who's this guy? Vince, he just worked here like 2 years ago.
Right.
What do you mean you don't know who he is?
Right.
And then forever, they have not acknowledged Bruno Sammartino, who is one of the most important figures of his father's promotion, and it's been laughable. It's like Bruno existed. And it was so interesting earlier this year when Punk started saying his name, and it's very edgy, like, oh, Punk San Bruno. And now that Bruno is going into the Hall of Fame, and apparently Bruno said that, you know, this was strictly him and Triple H having conversations, and Triple H has done things like show him the product and show him the changes. This is more of a product Bruno could get behind. And man, it is the most important Hall of Fame announcement, in my opinion, ever.
Yeah, it's a good class, too, this year with, Bob Backlund. It's a good Hall of Fame class, and it does fill an enormous hole in the Hall of Fame. You can't have a WWE Hall of Fame without having Bruno Sammartino. And we could get into an hour-long conversation about the stupid baseball Hall of Fame, not having Pete Rose, et cetera, et cetera. But
not even having a class this year, absolutely.
And how stupid is that? But this is a big boost. One of the charms of Bruno was the ethnic connection at the time, right? The Italian connection there in the East, in New York, all those times he sold out Madison Square Garden. And he was so important to people. If you watch the videos, the tributes to him, you can't help but be moved at how much he meant to people. So, hats off from everyone here at OWW to Bruno Sammartino. Should be an awful lot of fun to watch his induction.
He definitely connected. He was a champion for 6 years. I don't care what kind of television products you're presenting. I mean, he was a champion for 6 years at one point, David. That's a long time.
Yeah.
And, Pedro Morales definitely had the same connection with his audience when he became champion. But, I mean, Bruno is the most important guy from that from that era. Yeah, and Bob Backlund going in at the same time. Another important champion. Also, Trish Stratus is kind of the archetype for what they expect from a diva,
yeah.
What they'd want from a diva. So, I mean, of all the women to ever go in, I mean, Sherry, extremely important. But, I mean, Trish, Trish is definitely up there in World Wrestling Entertainment land, the WWE universe, if you will, because she is what they want after her, Caitlyn, the Layla's. They want them all to be like Trish Stratus. Definitely, man, I wish I were going live. This is such a good class. Mick Foley as well. I completely forgot about Mick Foley as well. I mean, this is when you're fortunate that if you buy the Blu-ray, you get the Hall of Fame too. I mean,
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
The only thing I'll say, Alex, though, that's disappointing to me slightly is I was really hoping Randy Savage and Liz would go in this year, posthumously, obviously. But I don't think there's room for it now. He's such a big name, it would be such a big deal. That may be a year or two down the road. Is that fair?
Absolutely. And, I mean, yeah, with Macho Man Elizabeth, you can save him off. Next year's in New Orleans. Maybe you could do him there. WrestleMania 30. New Orleans isn't really important to the career of Macho Man Randy Savage, but being WrestleMania 30, it is very important. And you could induct him together.
I hope that Kamala, I've heard rumors that Kamala may go in. I just like Kamala. He scared the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Kamala would be more important to the New Orleans market.
Yeah. And don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. Email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. What's your Twitter again, Alex?
AlexGoff84.
And I'm DLB19338. Follow us on Twitter. We'll also post directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Till next time, I am David.
I really think you should change your Twitter. This is Alex.
Why is that? You don't like my Twitter?
It sounds like a password or a code.
Well, it's maybe it's very special to me.
Possibly, but for marketing reasons, I don't think it's very effective.
Yeah, that's why I don't have like 40 million followers like Bieber.
I'm almost to 100, Dave, and I'm very proud of myself.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the program, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.